good afternoon. Hope your Tuesday has been a good one so far. Thanks for joining the Wintrust Business Lunch with me, Ji-Soo Yi. Another roller coaster day on the market. So let's get started and down to business right away with CNBC analyst and co-founder of Nigerian Family Office and Market Rebellion, John Nigerian. Hi, John.
Hello, Ji. How are you today?
Oh, fantastic. Well, I mean, I guess it's all over the place. I can't make heads or tails of what's going on. So can you explain it to me?
Well, I can try. And we were talking about this on Friday.
You were.
Both with you and on the show. We were saying, you know what? A coordinated effort by central banks with a statement, just a statement, that would say, you know, we're willing to put the full faith and credit and blah, 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 all those kind of key words. Wall Street and I think markets around the world would have been just fine with that. Unfortunately, central banks did make a statement today, and it wasn't what the market wanted and what investors wanted to hear, which I think I was a lot closer to what they wanted to hear. So instead, with the market selling off, the Fed stepped in today and said, we're going to cut 50 basis points off the Fed funds rate. And they're saying they're doing it because it's an emergency. So people react as they frequently do. I mean, you know, if you were on an airplane and they said, we're going to make an emergency landing, would you feel better about how you were flying or kind of nervous?
Good point. I never thought about it that way. Do you think the Feds felt pressured? Like, why did they decide to do this?
I think they had hoped, and of course I'm not privy to what went on, but I think they'd hoped that along with the G7, which was those central bankers that I was talking about that had the opportunity to make a coordinated statement, but like I say, the statement they made was not really what the market wanted to hear. The Fed must have said, well, we're going to have to act alone then, and we better hit it with not a 25 basis point cut, a quarter of 1%, but instead 0.5% to show them how serious we are. So this is the biggest move that Jay Powell has made in terms of basis points to either increase or decrease the interest rates. And people took it, I think, as a sign that, well, even though there's not as many folks dying of this when the numerator and the denominator for these things, you know, that is what you want to see. You want to see the percentage of mortality dropping as more and more people come down with the virus. But by saying it's an emergency, I think that made the markets a little nervous, and that's why we got what we got right now.
Well, they should have talked to you, John, first.
We hoped.
So what happens now? So they did this. It's not helped in the way that they wanted necessarily. So what's next?
Well, I think the markets will digest exactly what a half-point interest rate cut means, because what it does mean to an awful lot of people is that they're constantly comparing fixed income to the stock market and bonds, in other words, to the stock market. You just shaved interest rates and basically cut them in half in the United States, and that will be priced into stocks, and ultimately stocks will rally on this, I believe. But, like I say, the way it was delivered, just like if a dentist all of a sudden showed up with a really big syringe next to your mouth, you're not going to feel too comfortable about it for the next few minutes. Now, a couple days later, if the pain's gone in your mouth, you're going to feel a lot better, but you're not going to feel good in the short term. So I'd say this is short-term pain, but long-term, it will have the effect that Jay Powell and the Fed hoped it would have.
Hearing a lot about these stay-at-home stocks as folks bunker down and binge on Netflix and order food at home and don't go out, are there some buying opportunities there?
I'm sure. But on the other hand, some other, like Uber, kind of plays both sides of that, because Uber is, of course, a company that many of us use a lot to take us to and from. But they also are, and so maybe we're not going to be doing as much of that under the scenario you just laid out, G. But under the Uber Eats and all the DoorDash-type folks, those are things that people, Grubhub and so forth, that people will likely use more of just as they stocked up on food at Costco this weekend. So there are a lot of stay-at-home plays that still continue to work, but I think yesterday was a sign that the market at least has a little more balance, at least a little push against the pull, and I think that's a better sign. But like I say, today I think it's a little bit of sell the news event that people didn't get what they'd hoped they'd get.
So that's good to hear from you, and that's your assessment. What would you like to leave the listeners with that are really worried about their money and their portfolios right now?
I think we're still a lot better than we were last week. So in other words, stability into the market and the fact that the Fed really is paying attention. They're not going to be late with a move this time. They may have been a little early, and a little the verbiage about it being an emergency cut might have been a little too much, but I think things will calm down here, and I think it's going to be a lot better in the coming weeks.
Well, thank you, John, for that positivity and that rationale. Really appreciate it. CNBC analyst,
right.
Co-founder of the Najarian Family Office and Market Rebellion. We'll talk to you next week. G here with the Wintrust to Business Lunch. We're just chugging along on this Tuesday. And in the studio now is CEO of LaSalle Network, Tom Gimble. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how are you?
Fantastic. I'm glad that you're in studio with us today.
Always good to see you.
You got a great checkered jacket on.
It's a shame we're not on TV.
I know. Well, people log on to the stream.
I've got a face made for radio, but the coat's good for TV.
Hey, so listen, how many people do you manage? You have offices here in Chicago and in Nashville,
in
too.
In Nashville, some remote employees as well. We've got about maybe 260, 270.
Okay, so out of those 260, 70 people, mm-hmm. what are you hearing right now from your employees about coronavirus?
There's probably three types of employees. And one is the people who get dramatic and neurotic when something like this happens. I'm not saying good or bad. I'm just saying they are.
I hear you. Because it takes... You know, different strokes
for
different
folks. We're all different types of people.
All kinds of people.
And then there's the one, the employee that says the second type is the employee that's like, huh? Who cares? It's
right.
not going to get me. And then there's the third type that says, I want to know information, but I'm not overly concerned. And the key in managing and leading people is you have to send a message and be able to cater to everybody and make sure that you're leading in a calm way and be able to put the fears to rest of number one and number three, and then not turn number two, who doesn't care at all, into a crazy person for no reason.
It's really making sure that your management style can speak in a language that each type of person can understand.
Yeah, you know, I know some firms, and they put out more of a legalese document. And they said, all employees must read, was the first line, and then it just had the attachment, and that was it. I'm not a firm believer that that's the right style to lead a group of people. What I did was my HR leader was going to send it. I said, you know what? I'd rather send it. So it's not an HR thing. This is a human being issue, and I'm CEO of the company. And basically, it just said, whether you're concerned about the coronavirus or not, here's the information that we've garnered from news sources and doctors. And what that is the mortality rate is less than 1.5%. It's about being quarantined. If you're under the age of 50, it's not that severe. And the issue is, make sure you wash your hands on a regular basis. And we're ordering a ton more antibacterial lotion for everybody to use in every office. And make sure you rub it in really well and in your fingertips, and don't touch it to your face. And if you're nervous, don't shake anybody's hands. And if you go on a client meeting, don't shake their... It's okay to be a little bit neurotic right now.
What I love, you wrote a great article. Look it up if you can. It's on Inc.com. It's, how is your company handling the coronavirus? There's one important thing all leaders can do. And you mentioned in the article that you sent a short email out to your employees, mm-hmm. which you just mentioned.
Yeah.
And then you talk about, hey, what you just said, you don't have to shake hands if you don't want to. But the part I thought that was very emotionally... emotionally IQ advanced is that you said employees may not have the verbiage to be able to explain why they're not shaking hands.
And I think that's the big thing, is that everybody's bandwidth and how they process information is different. And it doesn't make them smart, dumb, good, bad. It just means their brain doesn't look at it that way. And it's almost like being socially dyslexic, you know, right? They're not stupid. They just don't know how to say it. And to be able to say to a client and saying, you know what? I'm not going to shake hands. I have a little bit of neuroses. You know, to be self, I can't think of the
aware.
Word. Self-aware.
Yeah.
And a little bit, what's when you make fun of yourself? I'm blanking.
Yeah, deprecating.
Self-deprecating.
Yes.
Is really a great disarming tool. And to say to them, you know, I don't want to get you sick. I don't want to get sick. I'm a little nervous. I have a young kid at home. Whatever the case is, we have pregnant women in our office. They're a little bit more nervous than normal. It's understandable. It's understandable. And we should be tolerant of that.
And so what I think is great is you're explaining to your employees, hey, this might be what you might say to clients, or this is what you're going to say during a meeting. So that way you don't have to be uncomfortable.
And we also say, and if you want to role play it, feel free to talk to your manager about it, and you can practice on how to say it. No one's expecting you to be a wordsmith when it comes to talking about a virus that's becoming a pandemic. I mean, this is for a 25, however old you are, doesn't make a difference. To be able to speak to somebody about what people are calling a pandemic, who has that skill set? It's hard. Be tolerant of your coworkers and your employees.
Well, I think that's also a really good thing that you mentioned is, you know, you might be rolling your eyes thinking, well, this seems like simple stuff, but you're saying it's surprising what people are afraid to speak up about.
You could be standing waiting for the bus, G, and it splashes water on you. And one person, it ruins their day, and the other person is absolutely fine. And that's getting water on your pants. This is what is being called a pandemic, and it's being talked about on every news station 24/7. So even if you don't care, and I'm not that dramatic, I don't think it's that big of a deal from the whole macro aspect of day-to-day living, but I have great empathy for people that are bothered by it. And I'm not going to make anybody feel insecure if they're worried about it, because at the end of the day, we don't know what it is, and we don't know what it will become. So give people a break.
Isn't that so true? Because everyone does process information very differently.
For
and that's
sure.
something that you point out. And so what are you saying to the other CEOs, the other folks in C-suites?
Yeah.
I think that was a good message on your part to
Thanks.
Say, hey, I know this is an HR issue, but I'm going to make sure that everybody knows that I care about it.
And the interesting thing is, G, to be perfectly frank, is that every CEO is different. And some of them say, you know what, I want my human resources person to be the leader on this. And others say, it's a great opportunity for me to relate to my staff. And that's what I encourage, is even if you want to have your HR department or your marketing department craft the email, to have it come from you sends a message that says, as the leader of the people, of the company, I'm telling you, it's okay to not do these things.
There is something when you see it from the CEO, you're like, oh, better open this.
Yep, exactly right. And it's going to get more attention, and there's no chance of people saying it wasn't sent. No, it wasn't buried under a million HR emails. It came from me.
So, Tom Gimbel, to drive your point home, what is the most important thing a leader can do during this coronavirus scare?
Have empathy for all the different types of employees you have, and make sure they know that the doors of communication are wide open.
Okay, and if there's a CEO listening right now who's like, what? Are you serious? What would you say?
I'd say get a little softer, and it'll be a lot easier for your staff.
Wow, this is a softer side of you. Was this
trying.
Something that you planned for
I'm
in 2020?
I'm in growth mode.
Okay.
I'm trying to develop
right.
my softer side.
And have you been encouraging everyone to wash their hands more frequently at the office?
Well, you're supposed to. You know, I heard one of our staff said you're supposed to be able to sing Happy Birthday
yes.
twice. I tried doing it. I couldn't get there.
Well, John Williams was offering other songs that are as long, but maybe not as annoying.
Well, I've met John. That sounds like a John Williams song.
Okay. Well, thanks so much to CEO of LaSalle Network, Tom Gimbel, and your website?
LaSalleNetwork.com.
Well, thanks so much. I'm sure your employees are feeling much more validated,
well,
I would say.
And we're all a little bit cleaner.
Oh, and that's always a good thing. Good hygiene. All right. A lot more coming up on WGN Radio. G here with the Wintrust Business Lunch. Are you an Uber, Lyft, or Via driver? Well, then I want you to remember the name Driver Chatter. It's a new app, and it was created by a rideshare driver. And here for you now is Vivek Shah. Hi, Vivek.
Hi, G.
Fantastic to have you on the show. So how long have you been a rideshare driver?
I have been driving for Uber and Lyft for the last over 1 year.
Oh, wow. Okay, so how did you decide that you needed to create an app?
So every time I drove for Uber or Lyft, I always had questions. I've always been curious as to what other people are making, whether I am getting enough tips, because, you know, about 85% of people when I'm driving, you know, they normally don't tip, 85% of the people. So I wanted to know drivers, whether they, yes.
Okay.
I mean, this was awesome.
We really need to start tipping everybody. Go ahead.
I was not receiving tips properly. That's what I felt. So I wanted to check with other people. And the only other way that I could check with people is by going to O'Hare Airport, where I can talk to other drivers that are waiting in the virtual queue that's at the TNC parking lot. Over there, I found out, you know, that yes, other people are also the same, pretty much an average, you know, 8 out of 10 people do not tip. But you know, that was just one curiosity. I had so many different questions and nobody's been able to answer my questions. You know, like, I actually took a backpacking trip across the globe. And this was in August and I ended up in India, Peru, Zimbabwe, Zambia, South Africa, all over the place. And while I was in India, my flight, you know, I was thinking about, you know, creating an app where actually people can communicate with each other. So I met with some developers and, decided to actually, you know, get this thing made.
Well, Vivek, tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, this is pretty ambitious. There's lots of things I think of that I need, and I don't think, boy, I'm going to create an app. So how is this even in the realm of possibility for you?
So I graduated from UIC, and I graduated with the Bachelor of Business Administration degree, cum laude. And
awesome.
I've been an entrepreneur almost all my life. I created a gym membership website. I had a clothing line. Almost everything's basically semi-successful until I created Driver Chatter, and I see a lot of people actually talking on the app about just about anything, about their rideshare experience to giving other people's heads up. Even I had an incident at RideFest. There were cops that were handing out tickets, and I did not know that, and there were no signs that were posted. I dropped off passengers at a particular intersection. There were no signs again. And I went to court and I fought it. Everybody else that was actually there were over 100 people that actually received a ticket at that particular intersection. But I fought it. I won eventually. And I think I was the only person that actually fought it. And I was just I just didn't know like why cops were handing out tickets. But had somebody actually given a heads up that, hey, cops are handing out tickets at this particular intersection, then I would have actually avoided that whole fiasco.
So I'm sort of seeing two needs here. I'm seeing one that as a driver, you kind of need to know what's going on, you know, with potential high ticket areas or what the wait time might be at the airport or about surges or tipping, customer relations. But you're also seeing an opportunity to connect with your fellow community of drivers, too.
Exactly. You know, honestly, this is a very lonely job. There's no sense of community in the large sense. And I want people to feel that we're not alone. We're all doing this together. And this is basically a social networking platform for people, whether it's a Q&A or heads up.
So describe it to me. Do you mean that it's similar to Facebook or LinkedIn? It's that type of social platform? Or will you actually be talking to other drivers through a hand, you know, what do you call it? A hands-free headset.
So I wanted to, my initial idea was to actually take the whole old school Yahoo Messenger concept, you know, the chat rooms, and, you know, go that route, because I also had questions about California, because at that time I was thinking about possibly moving to California, and I wanted to know, you know, what the pay rate is going to be in California, whether it's high, low, what issues people are having, and I couldn't really find a concrete answer to my questions online. But had I created this app, then, and I would have been able to ask other drivers those particular questions.
So are you going to be, so I guess what I'm asking is, are you actually going to be able to talk to other drivers real time, or is it something that you need to just type on the social platform, like ask a Q&A?
So at the moment, it's just simply a chatting app.
Ah, gotcha.
But in the future, we're actually going to be introducing a walkie-talkie mode, video sharing, even screen sharing for those that actually want to live stream to other Uber drivers as far as their ride experience. Like even if somebody's at home, they can actually view their fellow drivers earnings and several different things if they want to share it. But currently, we're
Talking with Vivek Shah. He's the creator of a new app called Driver Chatter. What have you been hearing from your fellow drivers? What's the interest level been?
Oh, people love this idea. I mean, there are people that actually, well, I don't really condone this, but people talk about coordinating a strike through the app because, you know, we're all organized in one place and one city. Like, you can go into the app, you can select your state and your city. And, well, technically, if you wanted to, you know, do a strike, you can, because, you know, you're all cohesively involved in organizing something like that. But you can also organize events and other showcase your issues and opinions.
Also, I wanted to ask you, I know that Uber and Lyft have just recently warned drivers about coronavirus. Have you guys been talking a lot about coronavirus and keeping yourselves safe as you're driving so many different people around? Has that been something that's been discussed on Driver Chatter?
You know, that is interesting because there was a small discussion about it, you know, coronavirus, whether people are actually wearing masks. One person, I think, asked, like, should we be wearing masks? And I don't know, some people were just joking around about the coronavirus. But it is a legitimate concern, you know, because when I'm driving and I see passengers come in, out, and then some people sneezing, coughing, I always am curious, like, hey, is this person contagious? Should I stop driving momentarily until the coronavirus is contained, at least for the next few months? What other people's thoughts are? Well, I can't answer that question.
Well, I think this sounds like a valuable resource for a lot of the rideshare drivers. It's called Driver Chatter. And Vivek, where can people find and download this app?
So it's available on the Google Play and the Apple App Store right now.
And what's the cost?
It's totally free. There's no cost.
Excellent. And I hope that everyone will tip their Uber and Lyft and Via driver. Thanks so much to Vivek Shah. Continued success. And check back in with us later and let us know how Driver Chatter is going.
Definitely. Thank you, G.
Yeah, thanks so much. A lot more coming up on WGN Radio. G here with the Wintrust Business Lunch. Thank you so much for listening today. In the studio now is WGN Radio's very own Amy Guth. This is the part of the show where we talk about local trending business stories, also some international stories as well.
Somehow we always end up talking about fast food, too. I don't know.
Yes, we do. I don't know if that's going to happen today.
I have the in. I can do it.
Okay. Good.
I'm so excited. I've got the segue worked out.
I can't wait to see how this happens. Have you been Googling epidemic versus pandemic? This is something that I just did. Epidemic is an event in which a disease is actively spreading and also often used to describe a problem that has grown out of control. And a pandemic relates to the geographic spread and describes disease that affects a whole country or the entire world. And Amy, you're saying that there has been a little bit of caution in terms of using the word pandemic in...
Well, I think a lot about language and how we use language. In particular, the last few days, I've been thinking about the word panic because a lot of experts, and rightly so, have been saying don't panic.
And of course, this all relates to the coronavirus, which you're hearing incessantly about.
Well, and rightly so. There is accurate news to be shared and there is data that is being shared as it is available. So, however, what's usually more effective is, though, to say what you want people to do rather than what you don't want. It's like the don't think of an elephant, don't panic, you know, what's more effective often is to say what you want people to do and put the focus on that. So I think it's interesting that word panic keeps coming up a lot. But also, you know, watching digital media platforms as you and I both do, I have noticed a couple of things that have been of note. One is often a misspelling of coronavirus trends throughout the day. Various misspelling, corona with two N's, coronavirus, like all these various typos start trending because it's easy to look at something that doesn't make it inaccurate. It makes it a human being that made a typo. I mean, I saw one from an academic source that I know really well and trust really well, which I thought was interesting. And then she corrected she goes, oh my gosh, I'm a little tired. Obviously, I've been talking about this a lot and giving a lot of interviews. But one thing that I think is interesting that this very source was talking about she was describing how the reluctance in some cases to use the word pandemic is one theory anyway right now is having to do with what the disaster plans and the mitigation plans are of given areas. And so if sometimes that word triggers a particular action plan from a municipality or a state or a country that isn't necessarily going to be the most effective. So on some level, a reluctance to use that word. Not only is it about, like, let's not clear off the shelves of Costco in a panic right now,
which has been happening.
But it also can relate to officially declaring an emergency, for example, freeze up funding, officially declaring something a pandemic, a global pandemic. Also, it sort of steps off certain levels of protocol from others. So I think that's really interesting. But one thing I've been watching very closely is, of course, the economic impact of this, not only around the world, but here in our city. I think you just mentioned, and Steve was just reporting on the McCormick Place show that was canceled amid coronavirus fears. And that was the Inspired Home Show, March 14th and 17th. We have other events coming up, right? We have two home openers on March 26th. There's another one. There's another convention that's following that one. It is the American College of Cardiology. Say that three times fast. They have a convention on March 28th through 30th. So there's a lot of other dates to look at. In the bigger picture, there's still a lot of questions swirling around what's going to happen with the Olympics in Japan, because locally based United Airlines really was making big assumptions on their numbers that a lot of those airfares were going to be sold at this point. And obviously they are not. Here's a company that they were not unaffected by the Boeing 737 MAX crisis that's been ongoing. And then you add in a bunch of travel restrictions and travel warnings and things like that. United is one of the biggest U.S. carriers to Asia. So there's a lot of pieces to that that I think are really important to watch when we're looking at local companies, how supply chains have been impacted, right? Whether or not it ends up being mild or severe or somewhere in the middle here in this country, there's a lot of local companies that rely on other countries' supply chains for shipping, for goods, for manufacturing, things like that, that all have the potential to have an economic impact here, which I think is really important to monitor.
Well, we were just talking last week about items that you wouldn't necessarily think about. We were talking about wedding dresses and bridesmaids'
that's
dresses.
Right. Yeah,
we were talking about
that.
Wigs. Also, I know that the sweetener that's used in your Diet Coke supplies could be affected. Just the ramifications of this are very widespread.
It's interesting. So there's Bloomberg Economics has some reporting out around some S&P 500 companies and how they could be impacted, and gave some ratings on them. Walgreens Boots Alliance, there's a local company with a pretty positive outlook right now. If you think about the kind of things people are buying, hand sanitizers, face masks,
Clorox,
things like that, right? So the outlook on Walgreens Boots Alliance, pretty positive right now. As I mentioned, United, Boeing, the outlook is considered, quote, highly negative right now for reasons I mentioned. Then we have, you know, there's a lot of other companies that are headquartered here that are going to remain fairly neutral. As far as we know, there can always be unforeseen circumstances and unforeseen issues that come up in any sort of black swan type event that no one could have predicted. So companies like Caterpillar, Allstate, Deere, Exelon, all of those are their rating is fairly neutral right now. The only one in neutral that has the potential to change is Kraft Heinz. If there is more of a push of people like going to stores to stockpile foods, things like that, that could, you know, that could be veer into a positive rating for Kraft Heinz. So it's interesting to watch that. Obviously, the story is about public health and safety. And of course, that is the main thing. But there are always very serious economic ramifications to things like this that do stretch around the world that are important to watch and just have a look at.
And of course, companies are thinking about what their precautions and protocols are going to be. We just talked with Tom Gimbel of LaSalle Network. He just sent out a note to all of his employees. They've been buying plenty of antibacterial lotions and soaps to make sure that there's a big supply at their offices. And I know that in Britain, even they're considering that a lot of employees may have to work from home as well.
Well, some large tech companies have already kind of put out that directive that if you can work from home, go ahead. We've also seen Facebook and Twitter pull out of the South by Southwest conference. So I think it's going to be interesting to see ways that, you know, I think it does have people thinking through things that honestly we should be thinking through already, right? Of how can I be a better colleague? Well, don't go to work when you're sick. That's even if you have the sniffles. If you're contagious, don't go to work. None of this hero stuff. Don't do that. I think there's things like that. But then there are bigger things like, well, major events. Events and companies pulling out of them. Yeah. I think some companies are considering their, what is my remote work strategy that maybe I haven't had to think of before now. So hopefully this is having people think through things they will never have to use.
And listen to this. Locally, the Field Museum and the Art Institute have banned staff from traveling to areas already profoundly impacted by the coronavirus. So
that's right. The Field Museum said they don't have anyone working abroad right now, so this would apply to future travel. But here's an organization where you do have people going around the world. So a lot of companies are thinking of that. And I know even airlines have had some of these thoughts of, well, what does this mean for employees? Some are even needing to take some unpaid leave. But also, what is the health and safety consideration we need to make for our workers here?
We have to wrap up, but you promised me some fast food news.
Well, one of the companies on this list is McDonald's. They're rating fairly neutral. So even though they have seen some major closures
in China.
That's right. They have roughly 3,000 outlets in China. That is only accounting for about 9% of its stores.
Well,
so still neutral for McDonald's.
That's pretty good news, right, in light of the circumstances. Okay. Thanks to WGN Radio's Amy Guth. A lot more coming up here on WGN Radio. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.